Hi, this is Eric Elnis, and welcome to another installment of the Crosswalk America podcast. Today we are especially pleased to be joined by Barbara Rossing. Barbara teaches New Testament at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. She holds a doctorate from Harvard University Divinity School and has a Master's of Divinity from Yale University Divinity School. She's an ordained minister of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and lives currently in Chicago. Welcome to the podcast, Barbara.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, you are also the author of a very popular book called The Rapture Exposed. I remember when it first came out, or shortly after it came out, it was featured on 60 Minutes even. And you write a lot about the background of the rapture. Now, the rapture is something that the Left Behind video game is based upon, as well as the Left Behind books. What can you tell us about the rapture? Where did it come from?
Well, I call it the so-called rapture because I don't believe in it, and I don't think it's biblical. It's an invention that came about in the 19th century based on a traditional Christian notion, certainly the idea that Jesus is going to return, and we do believe in that. I'm a Lutheran minister, and we say in our creeds that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. But proponents of the so-called rapture split Jesus' second coming into two parts. They think that first he will come secretly, suddenly, and snatch people out of their beds or out of their cars or trains or planes or automobiles up into the air, causing great crashes for those of us left behind on earth. And then they think there will be a seven-year period of tribulation, and then Jesus will come back for a second coming. So they split the traditional understanding of Jesus' return into these two parts, and that is not biblical, although it's become very popular through TV preachers and radio preachers and now through the Left Behind novels. But the whole premise on which these novels are based is false. It's not biblical.
So you mentioned this was a relatively recent invention. Who invented it, and did this person just pull it out of thin air, or what?
Yes, pulled it out of thin air. Well, it was a British preacher named Darby in the 1830s, John Nelson Darby, and he then went on to become the founder of the Plymouth Brethren. He made a number of missionary trips to the United States, so his preaching became very popular here. He was writing at a time when everybody was interested in prophecy, so it doesn't come just out of thin air. I guess he can piece it together by cobbling together Bible verses, a verse from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians with a verse from the Gospel of Matthew. But he invented the whole system by piecing together Bible verses, yes.
So compared to the scope of Christian history, this is really a blip on the historical scheme of things. It was invented basically holding various scripture passages together with bubblegum and rubber bands.
Yeah.
And yet, why is then this notion so incredibly popular right now?
That is a great question, because none of the mainline, the main Christian denominations teach it. I'm Lutheran. It's been repudiated by Roman Catholics, by United Methodists, Presbyterians, even most evangelical denominations. But it comes through popular culture, basically. Hal Lindsey's book in the 1970s, The Late Great Planet Earth, and now the Left Behind novels. It's also what you hear on from televangelists, Jack Van Impe, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson. So it's people with money buying TV time and radio time, to the extent that many Americans think that this is what the Bible says, but it's not.
That's an interesting point you raise about the TV connection. I mean, it costs a lot of money to be on television, and you've got to convince someone who's basically sitting very passively watching this screen that they need to jump up and send you lots of money, and if they don't, you're off the air. Do you see a connection between the kind of the elevation of that rapture theology and that need for money?
Oh, I can't comment on that. The opening sentence of my book says the rapture is a racket, so I suppose I would tend to agree with you on that, but I haven't studied the finances a lot.
Well, what you have studied a bit is the book of Revelation and apocalyptic theology, the Left Behind books, and how those things are influencing politics in the Middle East. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a dangerous theological system, when applied as a script for American political life, to those who hold to the rapture belief, they think that a certain constellation of geopolitical events is necessary in order for Christ to be able to return to earth. And in their minds, that includes things like Israel taking over all the land in from Palestine, the whole West Bank and East Jerusalem. They think that there must be a sequence of events during the so-called seven-year period of tribulation that would include the Antichrist, this evil figure, desecrating the temple in Jerusalem, which must be rebuilt, of course, in their minds, because there is no Jewish temple in Jerusalem right now. So they, based on a couple verses from the book of Daniel, they think a whole sequence of events is necessary in order for Jesus to be able to return, and they're seeking to influence United States foreign policy to take that position as far as Israel and the Middle East is concerned. They think war is necessary, for example, that Jesus cannot return without World War III happening, and that the Battle of Armageddon must be a literal battle in which blood flows up to the bridles of horses, and that that's somehow God's plan for the world, without which Jesus can't return. So it's for those who try to enact that as the American foreign policy, it's a really scary scenario, and I think we have to really speak out against it.
Do you see evidence that either that they're being successful or they're not being successful in promulgating that in actual foreign policy?
Well, it certainly isn't official United States foreign policy. I mean, our government is on record as favoring a state for Israel with secure boundaries and also a state for Palestinians. But it's the problem that if 30 or 40 million people of the Christian right now who has tended to support Republican candidates, if they are lobbying for this, then our leaders feel pressure from that very right-wing base. There's a new organization, for example, founded by a Texas preacher called Christians United for Israel that I think is very dangerous and that is exerting a lot of pressure in that particular direction for U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. So I certainly pray and hope that it does not have influence on our government, but I don't know.
You write in the Rapture Exposed that the message of the biblical book of Revelation is, quote, not of despair or war, but of transformation and justice. You advocate that we, quote, must reclaim the heart of the Bible as the story of God's love for the world, a world that will not be, quote, left behind. What can you tell us about, in your view, what the message of the book of Revelation is?
Well, I think the message of the book of Revelation is consistent with the rest of the New Testament, which proclaims Jesus as the Savior, the one who God sent into our world out of love and through whom God wants to save our world. So even though Revelation is apocalyptic and uses scary imagery and sounds sort of like science fiction almost in its hyperbolic language, I think the core of Revelation is the same as that of the Gospels, that God loves our world and comes in Jesus to be with us, that God judges oppression and evil and calls us to repentance and gives us a message of hope. So I see that very much in Revelation. It's an apocalyptic book indeed. That's the very first word of the book. It's an apocalypse. But that doesn't mean that it's laying out a scenario of events in a kind of predictive way. I think Revelation is more analogous to a kind of wake-up call. It uses the genre of visions and visionary journeys, somewhat like Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is taken on this series of visionary journeys, not in a predictive sense, but rather as a wake-up call to warn him what path he's on and how terrible it's going to be unless he changes his way of life. So I think the scenarios of Revelation, the plagues, the disasters, the wars, are not predicting something that must happen. They're not God's plan for the world. They're rather warning us of the consequences of a disastrous course and calling us to repentance and transformation, which is a message of hope. I think that God really has a hope for our world that comes through in the book of Revelation, in the vision of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who leads us into a new way of life.
Yes, you write about Lamb power. What is Lamb power?
Well, it's the very opposite of how the Left Behind novels want to try to interpret the Book of Revelation. The central character in the Book of Revelation is Jesus, and he's imaged in this book as a lamb. In fact, as a little lamb, a lambkin. And there's some 26, 27 references to Jesus as this lamb who conquers the devil and evil, not by killing people, nor by teaching us to kill anyone, but conquers rather by giving his own life, by being killed, and then by being raised by God. That's the crucifixion and resurrection. And he teaches us then to follow him as that lamb in a way of life that is nonviolent, that conquers evil not by killing. We don't kill anybody either, but rather by giving our testimony and by following the Lamb Jesus in his way. It's a kind of recap of the Exodus story from the Old Testament, where Jesus is the sort of new Moses who leads people out of captivity, not in Egypt this time, but in the Roman Empire, which is the context within which Revelation was written. And it's teaching followers of Jesus in the first century, and us as well, to come out of empire and follow Jesus into a different way of life. And that's what I call Lamb power, this idea that you conquer evil not through violence and killing, but by following Jesus and his amazing transformative vision.
So are you suggesting that the author of the Book of Revelation then would advise people not to defend themselves against a military threat?
Well, he doesn't answer that question directly, but in chapter 6 of Revelation, there is a vision of people who have been killed for their faith, who are pictured as the souls who are under the altar of God, who are crying out for justice. They cry out, "How long, O Lord?" And they're told just a little while. So I think they, and then there's a character in the church in one of the cities in Pergamon in Turkey who's been killed, a guy named Antipas. These would be examples of people who have been killed for their faith. So clearly they did not take up military weapons or arms in order to defend themselves, and I think that is the model also of Jesus in the Book of Revelation, who was killed, executed by the Roman Empire, and then is raised to life by God. So Revelation does not answer that question directly, but I think there's no warrant for using this as a militaristic kind of battle plan. That certainly is not the role of Christians in this book.
Recently, you've also writing on environmental concerns, and in your book you mention that Revelation, or our interpretation of Revelation, really has some implications for concern for the environment or stewardship of the earth. What can you tell us about that?
Actually, what I'm working on now, a book on averting apocalypse and the whole issue of global warming, which I think is an urgent problem facing us. Well, I think the danger with rapture theology is that you think that God's going to blow up this earth, that the plan of God is to destroy the world and then take us to a different planet, to heaven or somewhere else. So the risk is that we'll be cavalier about this planet, thinking that if it only has to last 7 more years, then might as well trash it, use it all up. And that is not the Bible's vision. The Bible is very clear that God created this planet, planet Earth, and loves it and calls it good and calls us to take care of it. So I'm very concerned that it's quite different from Left Behind and the idea of people going around killing one another and, you know, living in the last days on earth as the Antichrist is trying to take over. I think that we are endangering our planet right now with some of our actions and really need to change the course of our way of life, and that the Book of Revelation can help us envision our future on this earth. At the end of the Book of Revelation, God comes down to earth and dwells with us here, not in heaven, but here on earth, and I think that's a beautiful vision, with the river of life flowing through the center of the world, the tree of life on either side of the river. This is a vision, an ecological vision, that can help us urgently wake up to God's call to take care of our world.
There's a rapture in reverse, I believe, as you say in your book.
it's not people being snatched up to heaven off planet Earth. If anything, it's God being raptured down to Earth, yes, to be with us.
One last question. I'm just thinking of someone who perhaps is listening to this podcast who has been going to a church where all they've really ever heard is about the rapture and the tribulation. Maybe they've been playing the Left Behind game and they've been hearing that, you know, through that the peacekeepers are all with the Antichrist and don't trust activists and secularists and non-fundamentalist Christians and so forth. And now we're hearing this for the first time. What would you advise a person now from this point on, having heard you and had all this other background? How does a person find an alternate point of view and grow into that alternate point of view?
Good question. Well, I think there's definitely an urgency in the Bible and an urgency for our world that we do need to hear in Scripture and in the book of Revelation, but it's not an urgency for the rapture. Jesus will return, that's clear. But the urgency then is how we live in the meantime, faithfully following God's teachings, which are about love for our neighbor, love for God. We live a sacramental life through going to worship and meeting the needs of our neighbors. So I think the urgency needs to be much more about how do we live as stewards of our world, following the teachings of Christ until Jesus returns, whenever that is. But playing video games for entertainment that purport to be about the Bible and teach us to kill one another, that teach us an absolutist us versus them kind of theology, if you're not with me, you're against me, trying to split the world into good guys and bad guys, supposed followers of the Antichrist living on your block versus the little tribulation force that is the good guys. That's not the biblical vision, and I think we really have to help people see that God's love for the world is much more grace-filled and less individualistic than that kind of mentality. There's one of the trailers for this new video game I think is particularly appalling. It's a tune to Amazing Grace playing. It shows scenes of helicopters flying through the streets of New York, soldiers killing one another. And the invitation is, don't be left behind. That's not the Bible's message. And this whole idea that amazing grace can be reduced to this kind of militaristic vision of killing is dangerous. And I think we as Christians really need to counter that with a different understanding of God's love for the world and for each one of us.
Well, Dr. Rossing, I really appreciate your spending time with us and helping us offer an alternative vision for the book of Revelation and apocalyptic, which is really not so much an alternative, but rather is far more fitting with the mainstream of the Christian tradition for the last 2,000 years.
Thank you.
Dr. Rossing's book, The Rapture Exposed, is available across the country at major bookstores, as well as is available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and other online retailers. If you'd like to find more resources on the Left Behind video game or a more mainstream view of the Book of Revelation, you can visit the Crosswalk America website at www.crosswalkamerica.org. And if you'd like to participate in online discussion regarding any of this, visit our blog at blog.crosswalkamerica.org. No need for the www, simply blog.crosswalkamerica.org. Hope to see you online.